We're going to talk about actual actionable things, things you can actually do, not theory, things that are working. And Eddie and I decided to do this together because both of us are not only previously seeing great organic results, and even with ads, you know, tied into that, there's a really great formula for that. But also, as we've seen, we're like week one of, you know, Facebook zero, Facebook apocalypse. And everyone's freaking out and we're sitting there like, I don't get it, you know? So the first thing I want to do is allow Eddie to kind of introduce himself for those of you who are not familiar with Eddie. And then I also am going to bring up our a screen of the a couple screenshots that we both have shared for our stats. So people know like this is legit. This is what we're seeing like in the past week even. So Eddie, take it away.
Awesome. Once again, thanks for having me on. I always enjoy it. I know that we're in a lot of other social media marketing and management groups, and we always have a lot of the same opinions. So again, thank you. I always enjoy being on. So those of you who do not know who I am, I'm Eddie Garrison. I am the founder of Clover Media Consulting based in Orlando, Florida. We are a full service digital marketing agency where we do stress a lot of social media management and video content creation. And we focus on businesses, small to medium sized businesses. We don't want to mess with the big boys. They all have their seats at the table. I'm just trying to give the little guy, as it were, a voice in the social media and digital marketing world.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So, great. We're going to show really quick some slides. For those of you who are listening via my podcast, because I'm going to be putting this on the podcast later today, I just would like to let you know that this video will be in the show notes if you want. And I will also embed the post that I'm about to show you with a lot of these screenshots. So let's go ahead and bring these up and we're going to solo this. All right. Hopefully you can see this. You might have to go into full on viewership. What this is a post that I actually put out there 22 hours ago, and it shows a screenshot of one of my clients' pages or posts, really. And the idea here is that, you know, it's Facebook organic reach is not dead, and I just don't get it. So this is from a page that has 1,400 fans, and this is all organic. And what you're looking at here is basically the page has 1,400 fans. This particular post was seen by 1,133 people, well over the usual range of reach. It was viewed 588 times, this video. It was had 35 comments, 10 reactions, and 2 shares. And this was just in a matter of, you know, a couple, like maybe a day or two. Mm-hmm. And so the other thing I want to show you is I had a couple people posting, and one of those people was Eddie. We're going to bring up Eddie's post.
I'm everywhere.
And Eddie, why don't you go ahead and talk about, this is the one you shared on my post. Talk about what we're looking at here.
Right. This is actually a post. It's the analytics from a post that we did for an Italian restaurant here in Orlando. And really, the organic reach for them is we always try to tie in, because they're not actually in quote unquote Orlando. They're in a kind of a suburb outside of Orlando. Mm-hmm. So they're really community oriented, and they really have like a playful audience. So we actually did the post. I wish I had a screenshot of the post, but it was like, you know, it was right after a holiday thing here in Orlando, a big to do here in this community. So I was like, you know, if you're still not full from, you know, this chili cook off or whatever they were, if you want some pasta, you can at least come in and put an al dente in it. So I played off a pasta pun, and people are like, oh my God, that's so funny. And it had a lot of shares, it had a lot of comments. And this page doesn't even have 700 followers. Now, the 700 followers that it does have, they are really, really engaging. They comment on almost every single post. Every month, their engagement rate is somewhere between 55 and 65%.
That's awesome.
It's major. And a lot of people are like, oh my God, I can't get that on my page. Well, your page has 75,000 followers. You're not going to get a 50% right? engagement rate. You're just not.
Yeah, you know, the more fans that you have, the less likely you're going to have those high engagement rates. Right. So that's something you have to accept. But even if you have a small, like if you have 75,000 people following your page and you get like 2%, that's still a lot of people, right?
Yes.
For those of you who can't see, because I know it's really small on the screen and I tried to blow it up and it wasn't letting me do it in Be Live, which is what we're using here today. So Eddie mentioned about 700 fans. The organic reach was 1,917. Which is crazy. It had 53 reactions, 8 comments, 3 shares, 9 photo views. So it was obviously a photo screenshot here. So that's just like so epic. And then also Vanessa Turkletop, who I've actually had on my podcast. She's down in the Newport area in San Diego, or La Jolla, I guess, in San Diego. She posted this. This is a post that she did from her one of her brand pages. Again, organic, 22 shares. I wish we had her on here to explain this. 22 shares, 6 comments, 135 reactions.
That's
and
crazy.
It's this beautiful photo, obviously just gorgeous, 712 views. So I just wanted to kind of give everyone the, let's see, I want to hide this and show this. I'm showing Eddie. I'm trying to figure out, be live here, and like, there's so many screens. Okay. Okay. We're set. So, you know, I just wanted to give you guys examples of actual, like, what we're going to talk about today. This is legit. Like, we're not blowing smoke up your ass. We're not like theoretical, like theorizing, you know, this might work or this. Yeah, this will work totally because I heard some other person say that it would work. No, we're actually going to tell you what it is that we're doing, whether it's on our pages or our clients' pages. So I'm going to actually let Eddie talk a little bit about, maybe let's kind of bounce back and forth on what like strategies that are working. So you do one and I'll do one. So right. Eddie, you go first. Talk about like an actionable, like a type of content piece or something you're seeing that's really working for your page.
I have one that I want to get right off the top of my chest, right off my chest here. It was right on the top of my head and it's actually been all through the weekend. And you know, with the new Facebook algorithm where, you know, clickbait and engagement bait, they really don't like this. The thing that I don't understand is why Facebook doesn't like this, what they call engagement baiting, yet they allow you to post a poll. Isn't that engagement baiting?
Right?
They actually, there's a native engagement bait piece built into their
right
application.
In.
And I love polls. Do not get me wrong. I love being able to add GIFs and pictures. Polls, if you want to get engagement just really quickly, do a poll. That's very shareable content. We do a poll every week for a couple of restaurants that we do to allow the guests to actually determine what the special of the week is going to be. So that not only gives them an engaging piece of content, it actually makes them a part of the brand. And you want to talk about humanizing your brand? If you let your guests and your followers determine what they're going to come in and eat, that's about as big as you can get.
Yeah, that's actually a really cool example. And Beth Griffin is here. She's one of the people that I follow online. She actually does not do social media for a living. And the reason I'm bringing her up is she does the exact thing you're talking about, is she gets her followers to choose what she will be doing in her next video. So she actually sells unique makeup. So she's like in that network marketing, which so many network marketers fail at social media. And she is killing it. I'm actually going to have her on my show here soon talking about her strategies. But that's exactly what she does, is on her business page, she will have a split screen of a look, like maybe it's a strong red lip versus a strong pink lip. Again, makeup, right? And then she will have people vote on what look they want to see her replicate on herself. And it is doing so well. I'm like awed by her. She's amazing. I can't wait to have her on. But I think that's a great takeaway, is how can you, and it's what we're talking about a lot with Facebook's changes, is this idea of more engagement. How do we get people more engaged and talking? And so one of those ways is obviously to ask them things that help them decide the path that company is going to take.
Right. And I actually love that beauty example. And a lot of marketers, this is where I think a lot of, and I don't want to call anybody out because I'm just not like that. That's not my personality. I would never throw anybody under the bus, any company under the bus. But where I think a lot of these marketers that came into it thinking social media was easy because all you got to do is post, they actually don't even realize to step outside of the niche or the industry that you're actually marketing for and look what's successful for other niches, other industries. Look, I don't buy makeup. I don't. My wife might, but I mean, I don't, right? So, but to see the type of content they use that's generating all this engagement and shareability inside of their audience and who they're targeting, just extrapolate that out and use it in your content based around your brand needs. And it's going to work regardless. If it works on one platform, it's going to work on another.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, I personally like to get out there and really follow other brands and companies and just people like influencers and stuff. And if they're doing something that's different, I'm taking notes, because that's how you stand out in the climate that we're in today, is just to be different. You know, really, that's the only way to stand out, is get in front of it, right? Mm-hmm. Beth here, she's the lady I was talking about. She says, yes, Eddie, truth, throwing up a graphic, not going to cut it.
It's not. Thank you, Beth.
Preach. Okay, so now it's my turn. I want to tell you one of the things that have really been working for my clients, and I swear this goes against everything that everyone's saying right now. In fact,
that's why it's working.
Yeah, Social Media Examiner had their weekly, they do their weekly live broadcast every week, and they had Mike Stelzner on, and Mike said this does not work. And I was sitting there going, does it not work, Mike? So, and that is really short video that intrigues engagement. And what I mean by that, and the way that this is working, that screenshot I showed you of the video. So what we do is a very short, like 30 seconds or less, you know, even 15 seconds, very Snapchat or Instagram stories-esque. Shoot a video with a question. And the question we know is worded in a way that incites people wanting to, it's not too complicated. So the question this week for my, this is for my midwife client. The question this week was, I'm trying to think, the last week's question was flu shots. Oh, so she's a midwife. She helps women deliver their babies. And the question this week was, what is one tip for surviving the first week with baby? And we have so much engagement on this because obviously her group of followers are moms who've had babies or right. thinking about having babies. And not only is it something that a lot of these followers already have a point of view on and they're very opinionated on, so we know they're going to get that engagement, but it also helps the women who are thinking about having a baby. So they're coming in and like, oh, that's a great idea. You know, I'm writing that down. And then it also incites them having multiple conversations between themselves. And that's the tricky part. How do we get that? But the key that I'm trying to say is it's not just that it's a short video asking a question and to the point, like we immediately, she's like, question. It doesn't have any flair or anything. Hey, it's question. But also the way we taught, we actually sat there and discussed how we would ask the question. It was not, what is your birth story? Or tell us about your first week in, you know, it's not that. It was to the point, like, give us a tip, get to the point. And so the week before in that screenshot I showed you guys that did really well, the question was, what's one tip for combating the flu or for boosting your immune system? And it wasn't like, tell us a story or, you know, it's to the point. And I think that's why going back to the thing you were talking about, Eddie, and what Beth Griffin was doing in those examples is that if we can give them an A, B, or, you know, keeping it simple. And I know that in the mind of a lot of marketers are thinking, well, how does that really engage conversation? And we're going to get to that in a minute because that's my second thing I'm going to talk about is how do we kind of engage that conversation. But those videos are killing it for us. And they're just really short, to the point, bam. And then at the end, she'll go, oh, and by the way, we talked about this in depth in our live broadcast today. So it's kind of like a promo, but it's at, yep. the, everything's at the end. The point is the question.
Right. I really like that because audiences, like when people look at stuff on Facebook or any social media for that part, they don't want to have to think about stuff. They don't want to have to read a dissertation from a business about what this is all about. If you can ask that question, that's the reason I used to love the 140 character limit on Twitter. You had to be very concise. So I still try to keep that rule of thumb. I go a little long on Twitter sometimes, but if I'm posing a very direct, concise question to a brand that I'm working with's audience, I want it to be under 140 characters because they don't need to hit the read more. I don't like that. If you have to go beyond where it says show more, you need to rethink how you're actually wording your copy for that piece of content.
Right. I will say that longer form content works well when you're doing storytelling, not necessarily on a page though. Right. Like I've seen it do really well on personal profiles. It's doing great on LinkedIn right now. But yeah, I agree. When it comes to your Facebook business page, unless your niche, your followers really respond to it, it's probably not going to work so well. And Dina's here. She says, yes, I just did this last week. She's talking about short videos.
Yeah.
All of my accounts, short vids are the trend, y'all. Yeah, I'm going against the grain. I'm going to say video, recorded, natively uploaded video has a place, both as Mike Stelzner did talk about, episodic video is definitely workable and works. And I agree with that. But most business pages don't have the budget, the production value, and all the stuff to create episodic. So those short videos, I'm telling you, that is killing it for us. That is doing so well for my client.
I love videos for a couple of different reasons. One, Obviously, Facebook is pushing video no matter what kind of video content it is. So you're going to be seen in other new or higher up in news feeds and more often. But two, people forget that a lot of times somebody may be on a subway or in an Uber or on an airplane or even at work, and they want to listen to this. They don't have to look at the video. If you have good quality audio or you have closed captioning, they can read it or they can just listen to it. So video is a little bit more, to me, a more broad piece of media content than just the video itself, because it actually has a potential to have three pieces of content in that one video.
Yeah, I totally agree. Sound is like huge. You know, that's why I got back into podcasting after 5 years and really pushing audio myself. I'm even playing with audio live on Facebook, which actually did fairly well for me last week. The bummer with that is you can't boost
it
even afterward. Yeah, you listen. Thank you. Yeah. So I'm actually experimenting a lot with that. And that's what we do as marketers. We experiment. And that's what I would encourage everyone to do is get out there and you know, test things out. Now, before we swing back to Eddie for his next tip, I do want to highlight a question that came up. Hopefully I'm going to pronounce her name correctly. Yumiko said the page got 700 organic followers to reach this level. Was it lots of ads and boost posts? No, every screenshot we showed with those numbers across the board from Eddie's stuff to my stuff to Vanessa's stuff was all 100% organic. So that's the whole point of this broadcast is you can absolutely do things, amazing things on Facebook business pages or elsewhere. Organic, despite this, you know, zero. And all these stats we showed you was from this week. So, you know, the algorithm is continuing to change, we're going to continue to experiment. But these things are working. All right, let's head over back to, oh, sorry, Eddie, go ahead.
Yeah, no, everything that I do for all the brands that we work for in my digital media company is probably 95% organic. Do we boost post? Yes. Do we run ads? Yes. But it's very precise and very demographic targeted runs, like if they're going to have a new product release or a huge event is coming up. That is the only time that we actually put any money into Facebook advertising or boosting content.
Yeah, it's always best to boost the content after it's already doing well. So, okay, quick question, and then we're going to jump over to Eddie. The question right now is, how are you using video in your marketing? More specifically, how are you playing with video in Facebook? Let us know in the comments. And Eddie, back over to you, my friend.
Right.
Tip number two.
I'm going to jump on that, and I'm going to jump on the platform that we're doing right now. Live video.
That was going to be my next one. You stole it.
Sorry. Hey, but look,
You knew it was coming.
It is. I mean, it's such a huge thing. I want to hear your take on it too. But you know, I get some pushback, obviously, from brands that I work with, even specific individuals that I don't like how I look on camera. I don't like how I sound on camera. Well, you know what? Guess what? We're not all TV and film stars. You know, I don't look like Brad Pitt, George Clooney. I get it. But I get a lot of followers and a lot of engagement when I go live. So even if my customers don't feel comfortable on camera, guess what? One of their staff members does. And that's a really cool thing. So like, if you have staff, you know, employees in your business, let them go live. Put the spotlight on them. You're the owner. That's fine. You know, you own the business. But who interacts with your guests when they come in on a day-to-day, hourly basis? Your employees. So if you have somebody that's pretty charismatic or just likes to be on camera, put them on camera. Tell them that, you know, to go over the daily specials if you have a restaurant. You know, if you're in the makeup industry, you know, have them show their best, I don't know, face, lipstick, eyeshadow combination. I don't know. I don't wear makeup. But if you go live and you really highlight people, hell, highlight guests, highlight your audience. When they come into your business, ask them if they want to be on live on their social media feed. Dude, people go on social media because they want to see what other people are doing. And guess what? Self-promotion for individuals on your profile, they want to know, they're going to share that content. They're going to say, hey, did you catch me on, you know, insert company's live Facebook page today? They're going to share that. Their friends are going to share that. Their friends are going to share that. And before you know it, your 5-minute live video has 5,000 views and 100 shares.
Yeah. Amen to that. Live video is amazeballs.
Love it.
We've been in the marketing field, like many of us have already been talking about live video for what, like 2 years now?
Yeah.
2016 was really the fresh start. We saw a lot of that 2015, 2016 getting in with Meerkat, Periscope, then Facebook rolled out and I was all gung-ho Facebook. I even had an e-course that I taught on video, how to get started before there was like really awesome tools like BeLive, when you had to use like OBS or Wirecast to get this done. And we've come a long way and the tools are so, so easy. Like literally I'm in Be Live right now. I know how to use Wirecast. I know how to use OBS, but this is just so easy. Anyone can just, you know, click in and run a talk show. And I agree with Eddie, bringing in more people, having other people be the face of your, you know, mixing it up, having like takeover days. You know, maybe it's one day the CEO comes in and maybe someone interviews the CEO, or maybe the CEO interviews someone else, or maybe you have a customer come on and chat with you. You know, we had for my midwife, we do Midwife Monday live broadcast every Monday. We do Midwife Monday, and they do really, really well for us. And this last one, we had her bring in mom. Every once in a while, she has a mom come in and do their birth stories and stuff. And those go really, really well because then they're sharing it out and their friends are commenting. And live video is great. And we actually talked about this, Eddie, when we had Lowell on. A while back, and I'm going to show a screenshot of that in a minute because it's a great example of how well you can integrate live broadcasting and engaging post with ads, which is going to be my next tip. And that is that with live video, and I just blanked out what we were talking. I'm like, squirrel. Let me just show let me just show the screenshot real quick because I got distracted, but that's the main point here. Okay, so you can't, it's kind of hard to see this. I want to solo this. Maybe it'll be easier. This is a live broadcast that Eddie and Lowell did with me when Facebook first, you know, announces back in January 2nd, first announced this, you know, Facebook apocalypse. Now, mind you, there is a boost, an ad that ran on this, but it started, I don't like running ads on things unless they are already doing well.
Exactly.
And so something I want to show you, and I'll read through this kind of, because I know it's hard to read. We had 12,631 people. By the way, I have roughly 2,000 people who follow my page. This is on my business page. 6,008 views, 16 reactions, 8 shares, and 25 plus comments. The organic reach was 1,500. So I do try to get kind of over 1,000 or over that. You know, at least like I like to get like for some pages, it's 10% and other pages, it's 30%. I just kind of feel it out depending on the page and I know how well it's doing. And then I put an ad on it and it just kills. And there's that social proof and it just gets so much more engagement. So this is a great example of how you can use live video or any content piece to kind of, you know, integrate your Facebook ad. So that's something I wanted to chat about really quick. And that is, using ads when appropriate. So yes, we are talking today about strategic ways of using different content pieces and stuff to get organic reach, but there is a place in that process for ads and you do not have to spend a fortune. That ad that I just showed you was less than $50. And it was probably, knowing me, it was probably like $10. I'm also a really big fan of the dollar a day strategy that Dennis Wu and, Jordan Young. Talk about, which is put it on content that is already working, that is somewhat evergreen or fully evergreen, which by the way means it lives on and on and on. Put a dollar a day on it and it will continue to kind of progress and get better and better. And I have seen huge results with that. So the idea is, you know, utilize these strategies that Eddie and I are giving you. And then when you start seeing that engagement and everything's going well, you're like, okay, now let's go ahead and put an engagement ad or a video view ad or even use the boost button. I would never recommend using the boost button unless there's already something going on that page. Exactly. The example I like to tell people is if it's a post or a topic or, you know, even if it's a dark post, an ad that is not getting anything, but you need eyes on it, go through the ads manager, go through Power Editor, whatever. But if it's something that's already doing well, then you can boost it. You just need a little boost.
I agree too that a lot of people misuse the boost button. They think, oh, this is a great piece of content, let's boost it. I don't understand why you're wasting money to boost something that no one is already seeing or engaging with anyway.
Yeah, that boost button is so misused. I have people who go through and they like boost every piece of their content and they're the same people who are out there screaming, oh, Facebook is pay to play. It is not pay to play, you guys. There are strategies that work and I don't know what else to say. I mean, that's just the way it is.
And that's why I like when we come on live, I'm going to show you real content. Now I'm not going to show you the names of the pages that I manage because that's just, you know, client privilege and all that good stuff. Right. But the stuff that I show is legit. This is what we do. This is numbers that I'm pulling from my digital marketing company. This isn't something that I found on Google. This isn't something that Vanderchuk put out there. These are the businesses that I work with. These are real world numbers, and I think people need to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. I got to post this thing up here. I'm going to show you guys a comment from Dina. She says, this is back to Yumiko, who had asked about whether the post had ads on it. She said, Facebook has an algorithm to minimize the number of ads users see every day by mixing it with organic content. Organic is still relevant because no one wants to see ads all the time. And Facebook's number one priority, especially right now, I added that last part, is user experience. That's why organic will never be down, in my opinion.
That's right.
And I totally agree. Organic is where it's at. Like, yep. This is where the party's at. This is how you break through the noise. This is how you break through the, Facebook apocalypse and all this dreadful stuff that's going around. So.
Or organic. Definitely. Organic is the people that you want to see your content are seeing your content.
Absolutely.
Right? Boosting a post that, is your Monday special or whatever, and it gets, 3,000 people saw it from the boost, but only 100 saw it organically. Is the boosted post isn't getting to the people that live 5 minutes or work across the street from your restaurant or whatever business you have.
Yeah.
If you can't ultimately create the content that the audience wants to see, you need to rethink your content calendar, and you need to think how you're generating the content for that brand.
Dina says, LOL, I have a client who pays $2,500 a month in boosted posts. I keep telling him to stop. This month he is spending less at least. You should tell him to give you $2,500 a month to fix his problem.
I worked with a customer a couple of years back that, unfortunately, we just didn't see eye to eye anymore. And look, it's happens. The real world that happens, right? But I mean, I was charging what I charged, for social media management for a couple of accounts. And, after the first week or so, I look in there and I'm like, you're spending more on boosting posts in a week than you paid me in a month. I'm like, yeah. Let me do my job.
Right.
Let me show you how this can grow over time. Oh, well, if we boost posts, we're going to get more sales this week. No, you're not. You're just not.
No, those people don't understand how funnels, like the funnels work and how they integrate with organic and with ads. And it's just it's tunnel vision. Yeah. It's not really thinking about what's really going to work. And just for the record, you guys, there are different ads on Facebook, different content pieces that bring you from the top of the funnel where nobody knows you. And this is the problem, is people are trying to take these people that don't know you from don't know you to bottom of the funnel sold in a matter of one post. And that isn't going to cut it. No. And it's the sad thing is Facebook gives you the tools to gently bring those people down the right way. But for some reason, there's something in people's minds thinking that social media is the silver bullet that's going to speed up the process. And it doesn't necessarily do. I mean, it can speed processes, just not that fast.
I think people misconstrue social media with their funnel, and they put all their eggs in one basket. And honestly, in anything in life, when you're talking about revenue or income, if you put all your eggs in one basket, you're probably not going to be successful.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Okay, Eddie, you're up. What's the next big tip that you got for us?
I'm going to say this. I like it, but I don't like it. And you might have seen this actually in the social media managers group. Where somebody, it's not really a video, but it is a video. It's talking about, the Super Bowl matchup, whatever.
I did see that one.
Right. So it's not really engagement bait or clickbait to me, because honestly, I utilize that feature. And I'm not trying to trick the algorithm. I'm not trying to do anything like that. The only reason that I like it is that it's a thumb stopper. A lot of people say this is a thumb stopper. So when, you're scrolling through your phone and if I would just post a picture, who do you think is going to win the big game? Because you can't use Super Bowl. It's trademarked. Mm-hmm. So people know your laws, know your marketing laws. You cannot use Super Bowl in your ads. They will come and they will sue you. But so the big game, who's going to win the big game? The Eagles or the Patriots? Yeah, you're going to get some engagement, but people are going to scroll right by it. But if it has just a touch of movement in it, if the color shifts in the background, I love doing that. I love just cycling through colors in the background of images. Again, it's a thumb stopper. It's an eye catcher. Any piece of content that you can get to where it's an open-ended question, or again, I'm going to go back to polls, but if it has just a touch of movement, again, thumb stopping, anything that's going to grab their eye, that's really going to get you more engaging. And more often than not, they're going to share it just because they think the post is cool. They might not even like football. They may not even like what you're asking them to choose. They're going to say, hey, did you see this cool video? And it has nothing to do with what they actually like, but they're sharing it. And that's what the new Facebook algorithm is all about.
Yeah, you know, I was just trying to pull up. That's why I kind of took myself out of the screen so you guys didn't have to watch me try to pull this up. I can't even remember. I remember exactly the post you're talking about. I was going to try to pull it up. I can't find it.
And I actually really liked it. It was well designed. I mean, I know how they did it because I do it. But
so the graphic basically was who's going to win was the comment, the actual right. description. And then it was the graphic and it said at the top, you know, something like who's going to win the Super or not the Super, you know, who's going to win the big game or choose yeah. who's going to win. In the graphic, it made the call to action mm-hmm. and or like comment below, you know, was in the graphic. And the graphic was a beautiful graphic. It was very well done between the two teams, the Patriots and the Eagles, I believe.
Yeah.
And which I should remember because that's going to be my team for the big game. And then it kind of had this shimmer effect that kind of went over it. Like it was just really cool. And I think the big difference with that is I really am not a fan of images that are static. Mm-hmm. that are, you know, made into videos, but they're right. just, they're static. I think if you're going to do it, you have to do some kind of animation, something like you said, that triggers that response of how, you know, you can, it just stands out, but it has to be well done. It can't be like some yeah. cheap looking. No.
And to me,
this was really well done.
Yeah, the way that they did it, it was more of a GIF. I know they posted it as a video because it was a video. I know it was an MP4 because I know that's how they exported it, but it had movement. Like about every 3 seconds, the Patriots name would highlight and then the Eagles name
yeah,
would highlight.
It was so really cool.
It was more of an animated GIF, but they just uploaded it. I know they did as an MP4, but
yeah, it did really well. And I think it did yeah. well for that page. I can't remember who did it.
It was CBS Sports Network.
So. Okay. Maybe we could pull it up in a little bit. We do yeah. have something here. Yumiko says the thing is clients do not want much organic. They aren't patient. It's tough sometimes. And, you know, here's the thing about that is we all run into clients who are like that.
Yeah.
You as the service provider have to learn how to manage. It's a management thing, how to manage your client's expectations and how to be, quite frankly, blunt with them.
Mm-hmm.
Like I am straight up with my clients. Now, I went and contacted my clients about the changes and I was like, honestly, I don't think you guys have to worry, but like these are the steps we're going to take. And I, you know, I find it really funny in our field. The social media field, so many people so in our field try to hide things from their clients or keep them out of the fold. And they're like, hands off. Like I want, especially now, I want my clients to be a part of the process. I'm getting them right. all strategically put into, their faces are on stories. And, you know, I want them in front of the camera. So I guess that would lead me into another tip I can share. It's not the one I was going to share, but since we're here on the topic, and that is integrate yourself and if you are managing someone else, your client into your marketing plans. And there are ways to do this. You don't have to necessarily, I understand wanting to control the content that's going out on like Instagram feeds and Facebook and stuff. But there are ways where if you have a client who's gung-ho about getting in front of the camera or doing things, you can work with them on a schedule. So let's say, okay, well, every, you know, once a week on this day, I want you to go live and talk about these things and let's make that part of our plan and let's brainstorm some ideas so we could stay consistent. I have two of my clients, and this is more on Instagram, but two of my clients, I have given them full range of Instagram stories because it is better that they are doing them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a place where they don't have to worry about messing up the Instagram feed that I've planned out for them. And it's working really, really well. So if you're managing someone's social media, get them involved in their own branding. And if you're doing it yourself, you need to be front of, and it goes back to video. It goes back to live video. You need to be in front of that camera, whether it's a selfie or a video or yeah. what have you.
No, I love that. And in some of the brands that I work with, I even let them use the equipment that I have to go live because, you know, they may just simply not have the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And let's face it, if I'm watching something on Facebook, I don't want the video to start looking like this when somebody's doing it, right? You know, I'll give them a tripod and a holder and a light to use. I don't think they're going to break it. If they do, they got enough money. They pay me. They can pay for the light.
Right.
But if sometimes I think a lot of people are apprehensive about going live because they don't think they have the proper equipment.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm here to tell you that you do. The phone that you're watching this on, the phone that you're using to text people and upload stuff to Instagram is more powerful
yep.
as a video device than most movies that were shot on cameras in 1995.
Yeah. I mean, come on. This thing shoots 1080 HD.
1080p,
and
yeah.
You know, the funny story is Facebook doesn't even show videos, at least some of the video. Most of the videos are shown in 720 regardless, but compressed down. Yeah. So this is where it's at. Here's a quick tip, by the way. Clean your lens before you go live. that's just a quick tip in general, because your little greasy fingers are all over that. So.
And move the underwear out from behind you when you do.
Yes, you saw my comment.
I saw that. Yeah, I thought it was funny.
Yeah, I think if you're going to go live, you have to think about three things. Number one, how is your lighting so that people can see you? How are your sound? That's the number one most important thing.
Yes.
If people can't hear you, they will not tune in. There's no purpose
in
you being live. And then, you know, pay attention to what's behind you. Some people just like jump on and they don't realize there's like a pile of dirty clothes or something. I'm like, all you got to do is make sure that in this box, they don't see your dirty clothes.
Right.
That's all you got to worry about.
Like, honestly, you don't see my dog sitting next to me. They're sitting right next to me, but you can't see it. So.
Yeah. One day I was actually on a Facebook live, or I was watching an Instagram live from a pretty well-known Instagram person. And she had like this nice background and everything looked all clean. And she goes, I'm going to get real with you guys. This is what my office looks like. And she turned it around and it was like, whoa. Like, I thought I was bad. And I thought that was so funny because, I do that too. I just like, you should not, if you saw my desk right now, you'd be like, dang, Kelly, you need to get someone to clean that up.
I do want to jump back, Kelly, though, to what you just actually said about empowering the brands that you work with to mm-hmm. go live and to use themselves in their own branding. Because, you know, let's be honest, they're, you know, we manage multiple accounts for multiple brands. We can't be everywhere all the time. So, you know, coach them up a bit. You know, go in there the first couple of times that they're going live just to kind of show them how to do it, and then empower them to do it, because spontaneous live content, man, that's what the audience wants to see.
Absolutely. People love that. I know I do. Just don't get on just because you're bored and you want to like talk about your cats.
No,
I hate that.
You need to have some sort of strategy behind going live. You know, like, you know, for instance, I do this with the Italian restaurant. A Korean barbecue restaurant. They're when they do an employee of the month, they, you know, bring the employee of the month on live and they let them describe their favorite dish to the audience.
I love
that
idea. That is so cool. Makes me hungry just thinking about it, which I guess is also a benefit to the restaurant. Cause then everyone's like, oh, that sounds good. I need to go get some of that, you know?
When you hear that stuff sizzling and popping and sparking on the grill, everyone's automatically hungry.
It's like a win-win. Right. Okay, so the question right now is, what is the background? What is your favorite background when you go live, or what's your favorite background that you've seen other people use? By the way, I get a lot of compliments on my background, mostly because it's part of my branding. And I got this on Society 6. This is just it's a piece of cloth. It's a tapestry. I have a couple of these. This is just happens to be my favorite one. And it wasn't that expensive. I just pinned it up with some push pins. So this is this is a wall. You could tell I'm really close to my wall because that is it right there.
It looks like some kind of outer space nebula thing.
It is. It's a nebula. Right. My company name is Stellar Media Marketing.
Right. Yeah.
These are my brand colors. It took a lot of searching on, scrolling and searching. And you can search based off different things. I searched based off of space and nebula, and there's a lot of great ones. But I saw this one. I was like, oh.
Yep. And for the background, you know, guys, it doesn't have to be $1,000 graphic design thing. Literally, go on places like, and I'm not plugging them, but I use them a lot. Go on Vistaprint, or better yet, go to your local sign maker. Let's try to keep things local.
Yeah.
Go down there, pay $25 to have a banner made with your name, phone number, website, logo, and of course your social media icons, and do like Kelly does. Push pin it to wherever you're standing. They don't know where you're at, but it's still branding of your brand in the video. And that's the most important thing. You want people to identify you with your brand. And, you know, for $25 going live with a banner behind you, that's pretty cheap in the long run.
Yeah. You know, I follow this guy. A lot of you probably know who he is. A lot of social media people do. Philip DeFranco over on. I followed him before he was even cool. And I love this guy. And he's come a long way, by the way. But nowadays he has like a couch behind him and he changes the pillows. But the pillows always have these like really quirky sayings.
Right.
And they're kind of like related to media or what's going on and stuff. And he changes them out. And it's become a thing that people comment on, which I think is so brilliant. So and then I've also seen backgrounds where I think Joel Comm does this, where it's like some shelves or I know that Avi Arya does it for his show, where it's like, it's kind of like, what are you into? So you might have like some maybe you're into Star Wars and you have some Star Wars collectibles, and then maybe in an emoji thing. So, you know, just thinking about how does that background kind of express what you're doing is always a fun thing to think about. I want to share with you guys another tip on, and this is my literally my favorite tip on how to get more organic reach or engagement and trigger conversation, which is another big one that people are like, how do we do that? And that really comes down to what I like to call engagement cycles. Conversation cycles. So what you do is like after today, and I actually talked about this on a live broadcast recently, and I told people come back and check this post when we're done in like 24 hours and see how crazy this will be. And if I have, when Eddie talks, I'll go back and look for the post and see if I can show you guys today. But the idea is you do like a Facebook Live, which by the way, we didn't mention this, but Facebook Lives are the most engaged. Eddie, what did you say? How many? It's like 20%
more. 25%
more,
actually. It's a 25% more.
25% more engaged than any other content piece. And then after you are done with the post of your Facebook Live, with the video post, with anything that's getting engagement, you go back to every single comment. It does not matter if it's the same person over and over again. It doesn't matter if you've already answered the question in the video. You go back and you answer and engage with that person some more, every comment. And what I like to do is whenever appropriate, I will ask that person another follow-up question that brings them back, because they are notified that so-and-so commented, right, like Stellar Media Marketing. And you do it as yourself or your page or both, or, you know, however that works for you, as long as it works authentically. If it's done authentically, it makes sense, then do that. And then you can go back and forth. And that has done such great things for me. So not only can, and I really like, people are like, well, why would you answer the question if you've already answered the question in the video? And that's because a lot of people will scan comments. So it's a benefit to other people reading it. So I'll say something like, I know I answered this in the comments, but just to clarify, or, you know, and also here's a resource, and I'll shoot a link to them that maybe that answers the question deeper. And by the way, do you do this, or have you read this, or what do you think of this? And I'll get them coming back, and I might even break it into two comments. So I'll comment back, and then the second one is a question. And so that creates a lot of stuff, but it also creates social proof so that other people will see that this thing got like 40 comments. And there's just something about that. And people see that and like, well, I bet this is worth watching. Or this, you know, when I'm looking through my feed, if something has like 100 comments and it's a blog post, I'm like, oh yeah, I might need to read this.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Like, this looks like, so engagement cycles is this idea of getting people to come back and engage with you. And some say, well, that's not going to be the thing that works. But I'm telling you right now, it works. It's working for me. It's working beautifully. And it's getting people to come back. And then what you can also do is, if you, especially if you're coming back as yourself, not necessarily as the page, you can tag other people who may have had the same question and be like, oh, so-and-so, you know, Eddie also had this question. So here's the answer. And so you tag them and then you bring the, another person in. So this idea of engagement cycles is to do what social media was meant to do, and that is have conversations.
Exactly. And before you even went into that, I was going to piggyback on that and say, okay, let's just say after your Facebook Live video, you had 10 comments. You go back and you answer all 10 of those comments. Guess what? You're looking now at your algorithm. Facebook's going, oh, it's got 20 comments now.
Yes.
It doesn't have 10. And those 20 comments are going to probably spur another 25% more comments because, like
people
you said, you say,
come back.
We may have covered this in the live video, but how are you? And, you know, use an open-ended question to almost answer their question. And that engagement just keeps going further and further and further.
Even if you say something like, is that clarify things? Even
right.
if it's a yes or no response, if you think, I like as much open-ended questions to kind of go create a dialogue as possible. But when you've got to the end and you're like, I don't want to push this any longer.
Right.
And you can close it with a yes and no just to get like one more, you know?
Even if
and,
it's not a comment, even if it's a reaction, that's still engagement as far as Facebook's concerned.
Exactly. So according to some sources, and I have not confirmed this, by the way, I want to go and look into this, but according to some sources, comments are now weighted heavier than shares, which I thought was very interesting, and reactions. But I believe shares probably, I question that because I feel like if it's shared and that share gets comments, that's weighted as well.
Yeah.
Anything that spurs conversation. So I would say you still want shares, but comments are weighted more heavily now with the new algorithm. So anytime we can get people coming back and even like getting people to tag their friends. And by the way, if you're watching this and you know anyone who would like this information, tag share them it. Share it, tag it in the comments, share it with your friends. Yeah. So, and by the way, that's another example of why video, live video is so great, is because you can have those call to actions and it's not clickbaity or anything. It's part of the natural progression of the conversation. So, all right. So I think we've covered some really great things. Let's recap real quick. And then Eddie, if you have any other things that you think, oh gosh, we can't forget this. Number one, let's see, we talked about, what was the first thing you mentioned? You asked questions and utilizing polls on Facebook.
Polls
or questions that are like polls, A and B, or what do you think?
Is supposedly clickbait, but Facebook provides you the tool to do it. So I don't see how they can
use the
bash
polls.
And
you can use them with GIFs. They're built in. So, I mean, that's just another thing. Now, keep in mind that polls cannot be boosted, as we say, or, you know, ads. So, again, this is organic. And then we talked about short video and how I disagree with all the experts that are saying video's dead. I disagree. It's working for me and my clients, and that is really short. And when I say short, I'm talking like 15 to 30 seconds or less, and then get straight to the point. And it's ask a question. I even do like visual cues. I'm going to go solo here so you guys can see my hand thing. Visual cues are so important. I talk with my hands a lot. I actually had someone at a dinner I did one day. She's Italian. She goes, "You must come from an Italian family." My husband comes from an Italian family, but I've always been like this when I do videos. But something you will always notice is when I ask a question or when my clients ask a question, I always be like, visual cues, comment below. As I'm saying, comment below, question, you know? So I have visual cues are so important when you're doing video, because if I'm just standing here, again, I'm gonna go solo, and I go, question, you know, what do you think about a video on Facebook? Tell me below. Or let me take my little thing off here. Question, what do you think about video on Facebook? Tell me below. Go ahead and comment below. So which one is more impactful? I mean, visual cues are super important. So that's kind of like a bonus tip on video.
Oh, yeah.
So polls, asking those questions, short videos that engage. We talked about live video. I mean, that's a big one.
That is video. That's big. We're live now, right? We're talking about live video on live video.
I know. It would be a travesty if we didn't at least mention it. Live video is 25% more engaging than any other kind of video. So live video.
I mean, that's an extra 25 people out of 100. If you're going live, then you're just going to get just recording some video or linking it up from a YouTube video.
Exactly. Also, we talked about Facebook ads and boosting engaging posts. So if it's organically doing well, then we have a strategy to boost the post. But don't rely just on boosting, because that is a failing strategy. And that's how you get into this evil cycle of, you know, the pay to play, which I don't necessarily believe in, because I don't do that.
I detest that term. Anytime I see it typed, written, spoken, I'm like, why are you saying that?
Stop it. That's because they don't know better. I'm sorry if you're watching and you say that, you don't know better.
Yeah.
Tough love. We talked about live video. Obviously, we talked about advertising. We talked about conversation cycles. So just making sure that you are actively going in, even if someone like maybe I get this a lot is people will tag other people on my content and that's it. Just tag a friend. So I will go back and I will tag both of them in my comment and say, "Hey, thanks so much for tagging your friend. Let me know if you have specific questions. By the way, you might also like this resource." And I will, you know, use that opportunity to share other resources. And I always try to say, lead with value. How may I help you and mean it? You know?
I was going to say, you mean adding value to the content? Wow.
I know. Weird.
Dude, what is this? Somebody should write a book on that.
Exactly. Or, you know, yeah, exactly. So is there anything that you think that we missed out? We are like, we've been doing this for almost an hour, but I'm sure we could go on forever talking about things that actually work. But
you can ask my wife. I drone on about this stuff for days and days and days. So yeah, I could sit here until I have to go do another live show. So.
Right. I'm like, let's do it again now.
Yeah. I'm all about trying to go live at least 3 or 4 times a week. So
me too. I've really pushed up my live game. And so I want to ask those of you who are watching, who are listening, maybe you're watching the replay, maybe you're on my podcast, or maybe you're watching live. I know we've had kind of a drop off in the last couple of minutes, which is normal towards the end. And even though all the good bonus tips come at the end, right? I want to ask the question, what is one thing that is working for you to get organic reach? What is just one thing? What is one thing? comment below. I will probably also test out a short video like I talked about in our strategy today with the same questions. You can watch out for that. But what is one thing that you are doing right now that is getting you good in organic reach? Comment below, because all that helps other people learn and expand and all that good stuff. So
definitely.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Eddie. It's always awesome just talking. We should do this like regularly.
Let's do it.
Like great minds think alike.
Right. We'll start our own show. We'll be like Nick Nim and an Owen Video. They're nowhere near each other, but they do a show every week. So I'm down.
See, it's that easy, you guys. So I want to thank Eddie for joining me today. Thank you so much for everyone who tuned in live. Thank you for my podcast listeners, and big thanks to the replay viewers. You are all amazing. And by the way, go and follow Eddie. Eddie, go ahead and comment. Yay. Come back and comment. I think I tagged you in the post as well.
Yeah.
Follow Eddie. He is going live regularly, giving some really epic tips as well. Both of us are trying to bring in as many of these conversation starters to really disseminate some of that stress and fear mongering that's going on, because there's a lot of it. All that talk about pay to play or this doesn't work or, you know, all that stuff. Facebook is still a viable place to do business. I stand by the fact that you should diversify into other platforms, because there are some amazing things going on Twitter, Pinterest, LinkedIn, Instagram, all these great places. But there's viable things going on here on Facebook, so don't be scared. And
organic works. Shh, organic works.
Organic works. Oh, you know what? Here's a big PS. Since nobody's watching now, I just want to give the big PS. This is an idea I just recently had. So Facebook has been obviously trying to push out stories as of late, right? Stories on Facebook, on desktop and stuff. And pages can now use stories. And everyone's like, no one uses stories. No one watches stories, blah, blah, blah. Here's the thing. Nobody uses them. So there's a lot of leverage there, because it gives you top of the feed. And as more and more people become annoyed with the regular feed, and I'm seeing it constantly, people are not liking the new feed. The stories in your mobile device are the very top thing. P.S. Facebook is making changes. I just announced this in my weekly Social Media Weekend Update podcast. Facebook is making changes, and they're testing out for people to be allowed to create stories on desktop. And they are going to be moving the stories from the top right to the
top
center.
Of the feed.
Just like on mobile. So if you are not experimenting with stories yet, and this also goes for Instagram stories or where it's at, that's where the party's at. You need to be doing it now. I mean, if you're like the only person in your news, in your friends or your clients' newsfeed, or one of the top people that are doing it constantly, they are more likely to tune into you, because they keep seeing you're like, I wonder what they're talking about. So as with everything, early adapters win.
People don't even realize that. They look at stories and they're like, oh, what is this? Blah, 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 this, blah. Just like you said, if you're consistent with your story, it's at the top of everyone's newsfeed. It's almost like a free ad.
It is.
Because it's at the very tip top every time you open it.
The competition is slim. I'm like, I don't know why people, someone in the social media mastermind group was like, is anyone using stories? Like, how's that working? I'm like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you all, because people are like, story is a waste of time. I'm not going to sit here and tell you guys how stories is going to kick ass and take names if you're using it, because I want to keep that leverage for myself. But P.S., I just spilled the beans for all of you who stayed to the end.
I run stories for brands I work with on Instagram 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Yeah, we have stories going out. I mentioned I like to get my clients involved, get in front of the camera. That was one of our tips today. I have put two of my clients, I have convinced them they need to do a story every day, and they're having so much fun with it. And it's really bringing out their personal brand. And it keeps stress off of me, because I can trickle in the more cleaner stuff. But stories is all about fun and branding and personal branding. So stories is where it's at. And if you are a social media manager, and you have a client that's like, well, I want to post, I want to do something, give me something to do. Give them stories and say, do it every day.
Yep.
So lots of fun. Okay, that was your bonus tip. We are over and out, y'all. Thank you so much for joining us. Really quick, Eddie, where can people find you?
Pretty much everywhere. Just at Eddie Garrison, just like it sounds, EddieGarrison. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn. I'm pretty much on every social media platform. Other than Snapchat, sorry.
I'm on Snapchat. I just don't use it for business. I can be found on every social media platform at Stellar247. That includes Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and a whole bunch of other ones. Actually, I do have a Snapchat private group where I put breaking news about social media. I've got a couple people who follow me in there. So fun things. So that's a whole different conversation. We will check y'all later. Thank you so much for joining and have a stellar day. One more thing I forgot to mention, and that is where you can find the show notes. Now, the show notes are extra special today because we did use visuals in our live broadcast today. So the show notes will include links to all of the visuals. I've embedded some of the posts that we discussed today. I embedded the video from today's broadcast. I also put the example that we talked about the animations from CBS Sports is in there, as well as some of the bonus tips and all that good stuff. So if you want to grab the show notes, then you are going to want to head over to stellar247.media/engage now. I will go ahead and put that in the description today. Also, if you have any questions, you know, write in on the show notes, any of the postings that I posted. You could reach out to me on any of the social networks at stellar247, or you can call into Anchor if you're listening on Anchor. If you enjoy the content that I put out, whether it's repurposed from my Facebook Lives or original for the podcast, I would love to hear from you. Go ahead and head on over to iTunes. Give me that 5-star review. I appreciate those. They're super hard to come by, and anything that you can do to help me out there would be so, so wonderful. And I'd be super grateful for that. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening and have a stellar day.